Sportscast, June 5th, 2020, episode 212. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can get the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. The NCAA placed a one-year postseason ban on the Oklahoma State University's men's basketball team. And today we have a special guest, Chris from O'Colley, the official independent news publication for students by the students of Oklahoma State University since 1895. Chris, welcome to the Sportscast.
Nice to be here.
So, Chris, tell us a little... Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I just said thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Anytime. Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a beat writer here at the O'Colley, the Oklahoma State Student Newspaper Media Group. I'm currently the digital editor, and so you know I write about all things Oklahoma State sports, and so I'm really busy right around now.
I actually run a few other websites, and one of them is an independent student for this other college. How many independent publications are there for Oklahoma State?
I believe we're one of the only few. We're the student newspaper. So if you're a sports media major or any major on campus, you can come write for us as long as you're a student here.
Okay, so no independent, no outsiders.
Correct. Yeah, it's Oklahoma State students who want to write and get their stories out there.
And you've been with O'Colley for how long?
I've been with O'Colley for a little less than a year. I started back in September of last year.
I love the name. It's really simple. I'm like a one word name for like company names or also for newspapers, but I love it.
Yeah, we changed it. I don't know when we changed it, but it changed from the Daily O'Collegian. So we just shortened it to the O'Colley.
Oh, big difference. Big difference. Anyways, a lot going on with Oklahoma State. The ban, NCAA placed a one-year postseason ban on the Oklahoma State University's men's basketball program. The ban is due to the former OSU men's basketball associate head coach violating NCAA ethical conduct rules by accepting bribes between $18,000 to $22,000 from two separate financial advisors. According to NCAA, these bribes were used to influence student athletes. Chris, tell me about this story.
Yeah, so it happened back in 2016-17 season. Lamont Evans, he was an associate head coach under Brad Underwood, who has since gone to Illinois. And he accepted bribes. OSU found out about a $300 bribe that was paid to a player. The player then sat out for the number of games. And OSU self-reported the incident to the NCAA, and Lamont Evans was fired 3 days after the university found out. So OSU did everything by themselves, self-reported it, did everything by the book, and of course the FBI probe came about, and Lamont Evans was the forefront of that. He was one of only four coaches arrested and charged in the case, one of only two to serve actual prison time. And so... You know, OSU's been kind of the forefront of this the entire time, even though he did this behind everyone's back. No one knew about it besides him until the university found out and then fired him. So, you know, it's odd that it took 3 years for this to come back.
Yeah, something to definitely look into. How long has this been circulating around – like the whole school about the NCAA doing like this ban? Like, how long have you been hearing like these rumors, or was this a huge surprise?
Yeah, so OSU was notified of the allegations, back a couple months ago. So everyone knew the allegations were like there and there was a case going on, but we didn't know when we were going to find out anything until, I found out this morning. I found out this morning that the NCAA was supposed to, you know, release their judgment or whatever. And then I was actually on a conference call with Mike Boynton and Mike Holder earlier, the athletic director and head coach of Oklahoma State, earlier today. And they also found out this morning. I mean, they found out around the same time everyone else did. So, no one, the NCAA, you know, everyone knows they kind of operate in the dark a lot. So no one really knew. We all knew that it was going to come at some point, but I don't think anyone expected it today. And I don't think anyone expected it to be this severe either.
Yeah, and also today, that OSU will appeal to the NCAA after this whole thing. What are the chances for that to be reversed?
So, on the conference call, they had an attorney with them, Chuck Schmert. He actually worked on the NCAA enforcement staff in the infractions committee for 17 years before starting his own little program to help NCAA universities in the predicament that OSU's in. He also helped OSU back, if you guys remember, the Sports Illustrated scandal that happened a while back. But he said, they've been doing research all day. Of course, they found out about it around 11 o'clock this morning, so they've only had just a few hours to kind of prepare stuff. But they've been looking back at other cases, and they think there's a pretty – they want these allegations to be lowered to level 2 infractions. And so, you know, I don't know what our chances are. It's up to the NCAA. The NCAA doesn't usually, you know, do the right thing, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, which I've been reading on Twitter and reading, like, the whole chatter that apparently NCAA, you know, some people are have a negative view towards them of certain decisions, what they've done in the past. Why is that? Is that something they just have a bad rap, or they just, you know, they just don't handle things as well as they should be?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think they've given the bad rap to themselves. I don't think they have a bad rap. I don't think people misunderstand them. I think they've done everything to themselves. And in my opinion, this is going to shoot them in the foot because you got to think, OSU had one level one allegation against them. And we got a 1-year penalty, a $10,000 fine. We have to pay them a percentage of our basketball revenue for the upcoming season. We lose 3 scholarships for 3 years. Over the course of 3 years, and then a whole bunch of other recruiting things. We can't phone calls and official visits and stuff, all for just one allegation or one violation. Kansas has 5 level one violations against them, so I think this punishment was really severe, and I think it was setting the tone. I think their whole goal is to set a tone. I don't know how. I don't think this is going to be able to hold up in any court of law. Because it's just ridiculous. Oh, Lamont Evans faced 3 months in prison for the bribery stuff, and OSU has to face consequences for 3 years. That just seems a little excessive.
What have you heard about? Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Finish that thought.
The NCAA. I mean, to the whole NCAA thing, though. I mean, OSU and the NCAA have never had a great reputation with each other. You know, dating back to Dez Bryant, Sports Illustrated, back in the 1990s, their stuff. You know. OSU and the NCAA have never really gotten along, so it's been a long road. So I'm not really surprised that we're in another war with them.
Yeah, long history with them. Now, you think how they handle things in football and basketball? Do you think they handle things a little bit different, or it's the same pattern?
I mean, I think they show a lot of the same patterns. You know, the blue bloods aren't going to get as harsh a punishment as these lesser schools. You know, obviously Oklahoma State basketball is not a blue blood school like they used to be when Hank Iba was here or Eddie Sutton, of course. So, you know, they're not going to give a blue blood school a big punishment because that's their revenue maker. So I'd be surprised to see. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with Kansas, Arizona, and these other schools that were involved in this FBI investigation.
Yeah, which I saw on Twitter. A lot of chatter with Kansas, especially. Is there something specific with Kansas? Do you think they will also get that penalty?
Yeah, I mean, they have. So around the same time OSU received their notice a few months ago that we had allegations against us, Kansas received Kansas and Bill Self himself received allegation 5 level one violations. So they're still waiting their punishment now too. But OSU was given 1 violation. Kansas has 5 level ones, which is the highest level of 4. So, you know, I look forward to seeing what they're going to do with them, because if OSU got this for one, Kansas, we might not see Kansas in a basketball postseason tournament for, you know, a decade.
And keep in mind, guys, Kansas is a big team in college basketball. They're like Alabama, right. You know, when it comes to college basketball. Now, give us a little bit of background of OSU basketball. Are they like the top 20, like every year, top 10? I mean, a little bit more background with this basketball organization.
I mean, OSU basketball, that's a struggle bus for the last few years. So we were good when, you know, Hank Iba really did a lot for the game of basketball. Then came along, then he retired, and you know, had a couple of coaches, and Eddie Sutton came along right after Iba. And Eddie Sutton really, you know, Hall of Famer. He changed the program at Oklahoma State and put it on the map. Two Final Four teams, you know, was just killing it. And then he retired, and then, you know, we it's been up and down with coaches ever since. His son's come and gone. Then we had Travis Ford. He's since left and is at St. Louis now. But he kind of got a bad rap here. He got paid a big contract and didn't really live up to it. Wasn't a horrible coach, great recruiter, just, you know, didn't really get us over the edge. And then everything seemed to be going right when, you know, we hired Brett Underwood from Stephen F. Austin. He came, he had, you know, just won, made that, I think it was Sweet 16 run with the Lumberjacks. And he came up and everything was looking right for the Cowboys. And then he left for just 1 year, which, you know, and that was the year that, you know, all these allegations took place. He left to go to Illinois quite abruptly. And then we hired Mike Boynton. And ever since then, it's been kind of every year has gotten a little better. But yeah, this next year seemed to be the one that's going to get us over the hump, you know, top five recruiting class, number one overall player in the class coming here. You know, number one player in the U.S. and Canada. Everything was looking right. And now, you know, this postseason ban could really hurt, could really hurt this recruiting class.
Yeah, Mike Boynton Jr. Got elevated this past year. So, wow, we'll see what happens with OSU. Obviously, the Big 12 basketball conference is going to get a little bit more steamy because looks like Chris is saying Kansas might get in trouble and some other teams. So we'll definitely be eyeing on that. That's the biggest news in college basketball since they canceled back in March. Let's look at OSU football. Three players tested positive for coronavirus. Oklahoma State Senior Associate Athletic Director Kevin Clintworth tweeted Wednesday that over 150 staff, administration, and student athletes have been tested. Three student athlete tests did result in asymptomatic positives. Chris, tell us a little bit about this story.
Yeah, so players started coming back June 1st, and Oklahoma State's prepared to begin practice June 15th, I believe. Which is when the Big 12 said they will be getting voluntary workouts. So, you know, we had the first wave of players come through that included like seniors and upperclassmen and coaching staff and some other admin that weren't already here. All players and coaches, staff, everyone, they all got tested prior to being allowed into the facility. And then three players tested positive. So, we know that one of the players was star linebacker Amen Ogbogdaminga. He tweeted about it that he had tested positive. The other two players have not come forward, and I have not heard who they are. So that could be a big. It could be that they're keeping it under the rug because it's a big player, or it's a couple lesser known guys. So they're not coming forward yet. So we'll see. Freshmen, we still have a couple other waves of students to come in, but the good thing is Oklahoma State had a plan in place and a task force in place, and was prepared for positive tests when they started playing, bringing players back. They knew it was inevitable that with the number of people testing that they were testing that they were going to get positive tests. So they had a plan in place to accommodate for those positives.
So only one player came out that he tested positive. Like, was that his decision to do that, or was the university who was the one that was able to announce that?
He actually tweeted it before Clintworth tweeted it. So
oh, okay.
He tweeted it almost like he tweeted a few hours before Clintworth said anything. So he Ogbon Dominguez said that he wanted people to know, like, that it could happen, like, to anybody, anywhere, and, like, you don't have to know it. And he just wanted to kind of bring awareness to, like, wearing masks and stuff.
Now, like, the school does not, I mean, frown upon that if he tweeted that out, right? Or they don't, or...
I don't think they would. It was bound to come out eventually, so... He tweeted out, I don't think any punishment is going to be brought against him.
Yeah, because Alabama had a few players, I think about like 3 to 5 players that tested positive coronavirus, but they have not released those names for some reason. Obviously, you know, a lot of these players are, you know, kind of big names in the recruitment circle, so they might be very recognizable. So what is the protocol for these players? Do they have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, or what's the protocol?
Yeah, so OSU's plan was that they do have to be quarantined, and they will be retested. And I believe it is a full 2 weeks. So they tested positive sometime last week. So I think sometime next week would be when they retest. And then OSU's guidelines also say that from here on out, as long as they're on campus, any player, coach, or staff could be tested again for the antibodies, another coronavirus test, or any other test that is mandated by the NCAA, Big 12, or any medical professionals that are supervising the team.
Quite
so
interesting.
We'll have to see.
Go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens. The quarantine period is 2 weeks, though, so it'll be interesting to see how many other players or coaches test positive.
OSU came prepared with the testing kits. What have you heard about the season coming up for football? Is it something that you think they'll resume on time? What have you heard? Are they going to play within the conference? What have you heard so far?
Yeah, as of right now, I think the Big 12 hasn't really made any decisions. But as of right now, it seems like they're planning on playing the full schedule.
And when does spring practice begin?
June 15th is when it was scheduled to begin. But I've heard that players are being out. They're not quite starting the second wave of players coming back yet. So we'll have to see. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
How's the campus? Is that like all full, or is it like? I mean, are they going to let students back in like the fall, or like what have you heard?
Yeah. So we heard actually yesterday. Students heard that OSU is coming back in person to begin the fall semester, and then we're going online at Thanksgiving break.
Quite interesting, the whole scheduling with college football, because NCAA president did say if there's no students on campus, they cannot be sports. Do you agree with that?
Right. I mean, I think as long as the school's in session, that they should be allowed to play. I mean, we're still in school, and if they're here, I don't think it's safer if only student athletes are on campus. Because say no one's on campus and only the student athletes are there, there's no one besides them that could, you know, infect them. So I almost think it's safer if there was no one on campus for them.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because a lot of these sports programs are the driving force for the school's finances in a way, or I mean at least like the sports wise at least. But it's quite interesting. Tell us a little bit about the football team. I know at the Big 12 they came they finished off mid table. How is the football program so far?
I mean. There's a lot of chatter about this upcoming season for the football team. It would be the most Oklahoma State thing to happen if this football season got canceled when we're supposed to have. On paper, they could have a really good team. They're returning Chuba Hubbard, Tylan Wallace, and Spencer Sanders. They're returning a pretty solid O line, and then returning 11 of 12 starters on defense. So, you know, it looks pretty good on paper for them. We'll have to see though. It could be a good year for Oklahoma State. It could be the best year since 2011. And roster wise, it's the most talented roster since 2011.
That's a very good sign. And so Oklahoma State is normally a basketball school, right?
I mean, if you really want the answer, we're normally a wrestling and golf school.
Hey, that's great.
If you want the truth, wrestling and golf is where it's at here.
That's not bad. And Mike Gundy, football coach, what are your thoughts about him?
Let's see. I mean, it depends. As a coach, he's pretty solid. He knows a lot about the game. He knows football. I mean, some decisions he makes, I don't, as with most coaches, you're never going to agree with 100% of the decisions he makes. We'll have to see. I mean, he hasn't been gifted the talent that a lot of these coaches have could get. I mean, your state school, Oklahoma State, I mean, it's not a big town. Stillwater, not a big town. So we'll just have to see. This is a prove it year for him. I mean, he's got all the talent he's got the best team he's ever had. So, I mean, yeah, I don't really want to dive too deep into.
I understand. Yeah. And how's like the recruitment of what sounds like your recruitment for football has improved a lot?
Yeah. I mean, Gundy's got this thing where, he'll never get the top guy in the class. We won't get a lot of five-star recruits here, but he gets these young guys, these lesser known people. And he develops them. Gundy's one of the best developers in college football. I mean, Gundy, look at Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard's not a well-known recruit at all. Coming from Canada, he didn't have very many D1 offers, and here he is now the best debatably the best college football running back, and one of the top in the upcoming draft.
The last time OSU won the Big 12 was in 2011. Mike Gundy's been coaching since 2005. Looks like a very young guy. Still coaching. It feels like he started yesterday. Oklahoma State, and they're good in football and basketball, but they're better in golf and wrestling. So if you guys are interested in watching their theatrics, that's quite interesting. But there you have it. OSU made news today in college basketball. It might have been probably the bigger news than the NBA coming back. So we'll see what happens. Chris, any closing words?
I mean, if I had to pick any closing words, if you watch out for Oklahoma State in all sports next year, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good year for OSU athletics.
Poll question of the day is National Donut Day, Chris. Who makes the best donuts? Krispy Kreme, Duck Donuts, Tim Hortons, or, of course, your Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm going to have to go with Krispy Kreme on that one. Krispy Kreme is it's definitely the best donut shop in Oklahoma. Dunkin' Donut, I'm a big Dunkin' guy, but we don't have any of those in Oklahoma here. So, I'm going to have to go with Krispy Kreme on that one.
Krispy Kreme is winning 59%, Dunkin' Donuts at 18%, Duck Donuts at 13%, and Tim Hortons at 9%. So that's not bad. Of course, Krispy Kreme is very popular. Duck Donuts, I think they're more in like the Southeast. Tim Hortons is more towards Canada, so you probably haven't seen one.
there's not a single one of those here.
Yeah, so Krispy Kreme is the safest bet. Of course, Dunkin' Donuts, it's weird because they've been around for like 40, 50 years, but they're not everywhere. They're only like in the East Coast and West Coast, but anything in like the Midwest, they're kind of rare. So
yeah,
it's quite a thing.
Donut-wise, definitely Krispy Kreme, but coffee-wise, Dunkin'.
Yeah, but Krispy Kreme, you got to do it fresh, though. You got to go when like they're hot and ready. That is like – it's like white crack. It's like melting your mouth. It's just done. Right. Chris, what is the best way to reach you online?
Twitter, at Briss Kecker, Briss underscore Kecker 316.
And, of course, you can search on Ocali, the best publication out of OSU. If you want to hear the latest, Chris Becker, he is the digital – director of Ocali, is that what it is?
Digital editor, yes.
Digital editor, so he's definitely on top of things. He's going to work throughout this weekend, so we'll definitely get his whole OSU story started. And, of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter, at thesportscast1. This weekend is Bundesliga, and I believe there's a NASCAR. There's NASCAR, and I think there might be some golf this weekend. I got to double-check, but definitely go to our site, thesportscast.net, and check out our special of Artis Gilmore. Before Michael Jordan, there was Artis Gilmore, a Chicago Bulls legend. Well, Chris Becker, I really appreciate you coming to the Sportscast, and I hope you come again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.